Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, as they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass.
The scripture reading this morning ended, verses 11 and 12, with the disciples believing not the lady's testimony that Christ was arisen. Then Peter himself, from other gospels we know that John went with him, Peter himself went to the tomb and saw the empty tomb, and Peter wondered in himself. Many people today, when told about the resurrection of Jesus, count it as an idle tale. They don't believe it. They openly ridicule it, discredit it, discount it. Perhaps more are like Peter, wondering in themselves, did it really happen? Could it be? What? How? How could it have happened? And it's no marvel that people would wonder, because it would take a stupendous miracle to raise a dead body back to life. That is not in our realm of experience. Some things that the Bible speaks about, we can relate to, we have some experience in it, but not the resurrection. To discredit Christianity, even to destroy it, all you have to do is to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the resurrection of Christ is the foundational teaching, the foundational belief of our faith. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. The Apostle Paul affirmed in 1 Corinthians 15, that chapter that's the most extensive teaching on resurrection in our Bibles, Paul affirmed, if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain, empty, worthless. And your faith is also vain, empty, worthless. And you are yet in your sins. And we are of all men most miserable. If the resurrection hadn't occurred, Christians are the most pitiful people in the world. Paul understood that Jesus' resurrection is the key to Christianity. Why? Why is it the key? Well, after we pray, let's look at five reasons why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the key to our Christian faith. Let's pray now. Our Father, we thank you that we can come before you in the name of your Son. Lord, we ask that you would bless the young people as they have their grow time. And Lord, we ask too that you'd bless us. Help us to see your word clearly. And Father, may we see your justice, your love, and your mercy as we consider the resurrection of your Son, in whose name we pray, amen. First, the resurrection proves that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God and the judge of the world. If you'd open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans is Paul's great explanation of the gospel. And he's giving it to a church, to believers, because believers need to understand the gospel very well as those who are lost need to hear the gospel. But in Romans chapter 1, the introduction, we'll break in verse 3. Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That means Christ was a physical descendant of King David. And as a physical descendant of King David, he's in that royal line, and so he's qualified to be the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one of God. And Christ is declared to be the Son of God with power. That means with authority. He has all authority because he's the Son of God. He is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection of the dead. He was resurrected from the dead. His body was dead, and that same body that went into the grave came up and out of the grave, came alive again. Resurrection. Christ's victory over death was the supreme demonstration and the most conclusive evidence that he is God the Son. The Greek word translated declared in verse 4 means to distinguish or to determine. And our English word horizon comes from that same Greek word. When you look out on a clear day and you see the horizon, you know exactly where earth ends and the sky begins. The resurrection of Jesus Christ separated clearly Jesus Christ from all other humans because he is the only one who resurrected. He alone is the Son of God. And his resurrection also proves something else. If you turn to Acts, Acts chapter 17. Now, for most of this message, we're going to be turning and looking at multiple verses. Acts 17. His resurrection proves that not only is he the Son of God, but in Acts 17, Paul is preaching to the philosophers, to the academics in Athens. And Greek culture, Greek theology, did not hold to any kind of resurrection. They mocked at it. Only the backwater country people believed in resurrection. Only the ignoramuses. They believed that you lived, you died, and when you died, you ceased to exist. Does that sound like today? What did Paul tell them? Paul is in the midst of a hostile crowd. And Paul says, he preaches beginning in verse 22, and we're going to look at just the ending in verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. Now the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Paul told them flat out that God will judge the world, all the people in the world. The world, not talking about the earth, the people. He will judge the world in righteousness one day. After death comes not non-existence, but the judgment. And God has ordained Jesus Christ to be the judge of the world, and he's given notice to the entire world of this fact by raising Jesus from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the key to Christianity because it proves that Jesus is God the Son and He is the judge of the world. One time, I was in the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport. And, after you speed through TSA, then you have time while you're waiting at the gate. And I was speaking to a gentleman, and I inquired as to his spiritual beliefs. He was a member of the, I think you pronounce it Sikh, maybe Sikh, Sikh or Sikh religion. And I was witnessing to him, and he agreed pretty much with everything I said about Jesus until I mentioned his resurrection. The man flat out rejected that. And he got up and walked to another part of the gate. Sinners do not want to be held accountable. They do not want to face judgment. None of us do, right? So, by rejecting Jesus' resurrection, you reject him as judge. But the resurrection proves that Jesus is the Son of God and he is the judge of the world. The first reason, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, we'll look at the second reason. Why is the resurrection key to Christianity? Our spiritually dead souls can only be made alive by the same life-giving power of God that resurrected Jesus. Now that was a mouthful. But our spiritually dead souls can only be made alive by the same life-giving power of God that resurrected Jesus. Look in chapter 2 of Ephesians, beginning in verse 1. And you hath he quickened. Quickened is an old word that we don't use much, except for when we're talking about speed, but that's not what it's referring to. You hath he made alive. You hath he given life to. You hath he regenerated. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. How were we dead? It takes two verses and explains how we were spiritually dead. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Walk there means lived. We lived according to this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle, in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By our very nature, God's wrath was centered on us because we were rejecting him. We were rebelling against him. Look in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us. He hath made us spiritually alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. More than anything else, spiritually dead people need to be regenerated, need to be born again, to be born from above, to have new life. And we, apart from Christ, are spiritually dead. We're enslaved to sin, as the verses 1 through 3 explain. We need to be made alive again. And by God's great mercy and love and grace, we can be because of Christ's resurrection. The same power that brought Jesus back to life can give us spiritual life and will when we trust in what the Bible says that Jesus did on the cross, that he died for our sin, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And all that according to the scriptures. He took your sin. He took your penalty, the penalty of your sin. He suffered for it on the cross. Then God was satisfied with Christ's payment, and he raised him up again. God was satisfied with Christ's payment. Are you? Are you relying on what Jesus did as your only way to be forgiven, to live with God the Father for eternity? Or are you trying to add to it, saying, his work's not enough? God was satisfied with it. We know that because he raised him up. He's no longer paying for the penalty of sin. You must trust him in that way. A third reason, if you turn to Romans chapter 8, a third reason why the resurrection of Jesus is the key to Christianity is in Romans chapter 8. It's similar to the one we just looked at. In Christ, we are made alive spiritually, but we will also be made alive again physically after we die. Jump into Romans 8 at verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies, your physical bodies, by his Spirit which dwells in you. Who raised Jesus from the dead? God the Father. He, through his Holy Spirit, will raise our mortal, our physical bodies from the dead if we are trusting in Christ. Our physical bodies will one day die. And they will, if we're trusting Christ and his Spirit dwells in us, our physical bodies will be resurrected by the same one who resurrected Jesus. That means that death is not the end. All of us have lost loved ones. All of us. But death is not the end. There is a future life, an eternal life, and we're assured of it because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How did millions of believers in Christ face persecution, torture, and martyrdom? Not just in the past in Roman days, but yesterday. Believers in Christ faced persecution and torture and even martyrdom yesterday. They will face it again today all over this globe. Why? How can they do that? Because they cling to the words of Jesus when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Jesus told Martha that just before he resurrected her brother Lazarus from the dead. Listen again to what he said. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Then Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? Jesus is asking you, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Both spiritually, he'll give your dead spirit life, and he will raise your dead body back to life. Do you believe him? The fourth reason. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 15, the fourth reason that the resurrection of Jesus is the key to Christianity is that it is the basis, the resurrection is the basis of the gospel, and it is the church's witness to the world. It is the basis of the gospel, and it is what the church is to witness to the world. Paul outlines the gospel very briefly in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ to you. Jesus died for your sins, just as the Bible had prophesied. It was not an accident. God planned for it so that He might be glorified by you turning to Christ in saving faith. Jesus was buried, a sign that He really did die. He didn't just swoon. He didn't pass out. He didn't go into a coma. He was dead. The Roman soldiers who were in charge made very sure of that. They were doing their job like they had done many, many times before. They were not deceived. He was buried. But on the third day, Jesus came back to life. That's why we're gathered here today, to celebrate something that has never, ever occurred before, that a man would be raised to life and never, ever die again. I mentioned Lazarus. Jesus resurrected him to life, but Lazarus' body died. Jesus never died after his resurrection. He's living today. He came back to life. And it's not reincarnation. Jesus was incarnated one time when he took on human flesh. That's Christmas. Jesus was resurrected once because he died once and never more again. And that's Easter, the good news. And that is what we are to tell the world. That's the witness of the church to the world. Jesus died for sinners. He was buried. And he rose again the third day. And all of this exactly the way the Bible had foretold it, had prophesied it. Are you witnessing of this? Have you told anyone about the good news? Giving a gospel tract to someone and asking them, will you please read this, is a great way to start. So what does all this mean for me? If you've been keeping track, if you paid attention at the beginning, I said five reasons and I've given four. Four reasons why the resurrection of Jesus is foundational to Christianity. I've tried to apply it personally to you. But there's one more reason, at least one that I will mention, that I will give, and it's the most personal reason yet. If you turn to Matthew chapter 20, Jesus said, this is the fifth reason, Jesus said many times that he would be crucified and that he would rise again. We're going to look at one. Jesus was crucified and Jesus did rise again. He did what he said. Aren't you appreciative when people do what they say they will do? Jesus did what he said. Therefore, he can be trusted that he will accomplish all that he has promised. He did what he said. Therefore, you can be assured that Jesus will do everything he has promised. Look in Matthew 20, verse 18 and 19. Jesus is speaking to his 12 disciples. He says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, that was Jesus' favorite title for himself, the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge, that is to whip, and to crucify him. And the third day, he shall rise again. Jesus did what he said. Therefore, you can be sure that he will accomplish everything he's promised. So what has Jesus promised? He's promised too much for me to even list this morning. But I want to point out just a few. For time's sake, I will give you the reference and then read the verse without having you turn there. John 10, 27 and 28, Jesus says he will give us eternal life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Eternal life. That is life without end. Life that goes on forever. Where? In the presence of God the Father with Christ. Do you have that eternal life? Secondly, Jesus said he would leave earth, but would return for us, to take us to be with him. In John 14, 1 through 3. John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He'd already told them, I'm leaving, and now they were sad. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He will take us out of this cursed world, filled with the effects of our sin, with death, with sickness, with hatred, envy, strife, pain, heartache. He will take us out, and we will be with him forever. Are you looking for that? Do you have that hope living in you? And biblically, hope is not a maybe, if so, possibility. It is a certainty that hasn't yet happened. Do you have the hope of Christ returning for you? He's promised it. He did what he said on earth. He will keep all other of his promises. Thirdly, he will deliver us from the fear of death. He will deliver us from the fear of death. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Through his death, Jesus has delivered us, rescued us from the fear of death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And the answer is, it's gone. Why? Because Jesus died and conquered death. It's gone because he resurrected. He rose victorious over death, over hell, over the grave, over Satan. He is the victor. And he gives everyone who trusts in him victory over sin and death and hell and the grave and devil also. Are you afraid of death? You don't need to be. Jesus conquered it. Are you trusting his promise? A fourth promise that Jesus can accomplish, that Jesus will accomplish, is we can be forgiven and accepted by God. Ephesians 1, verses 6 and 7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved one, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Our sins can be forgiven. All our guilt can be gone. And we can be accepted by God, all because of his grace through Jesus Christ and what he has done on our behalf. And fifthly, he will give us peace. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He spoke that the night he was betrayed. He spoke it to his disciples. Do you suppose they were just like us? Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. All the things that could happen, if we think about them, can make us very afraid. Jesus continually assured his followers, do not be afraid. I have conquered death. I will give you peace. Peace that gives your soul rest, assurance of God's love, of God's forgiveness, of God's acceptance. Peace that will never leave you. Peace that you will never be condemned by God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, being declared righteous by God by faith in what Christ has done, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That judge of the world, we can have peace with him. Do you have that peace with God? You can. You should. You must. Recall that first point. I just alluded to it. The resurrection proves that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus is the judge of the world. You can stand before the judge, the righteous judge, the one who can't be bought, who can't be given a sob story, the one who will judge righteously. You can stand before that judge in peace because the judge himself has paid your penalty. Think of that. The judge himself has paid our sentence. How can you have that peace? What do you have to do to have that peace? Romans 10:9 says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believe that Jesus is Lord, master of all, ruler, the one in charge. Recognize him as your Lord. He's not just the Lord out there. He is my Lord. I own him as my Lord, my master. Believe that he was resurrected after he paid the penalty for your sin. If you do that, you will be saved. You will have eternal life. Jesus will return for you to take you to be with him. You will no longer be in bondage to fear of death. You will be forgiven. You'll have spiritual life in your dead soul. You'll be born again. And after your physical body dies, God will raise your physical body by the same Spirit, the same power that he raised Jesus. Never to die again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the greatest miracle ever. The angels told the women at the tomb, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen as he said. Jesus' resurrection proves that he did what he said he would do. And we can have confidence that everything he's promised, he will also do. He is risen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these glorious truths. Lord, I pray that you would direct them to our heart, to the one who's struggling, wondering if you love them, wondering if these things are true, perhaps, the one who is troubled about all the fearful things that are looming on the horizon of their life. Lord, I pray that you, through your Son and your Spirit, would heal them. I pray that anyone here who is not trusting Christ as the only way to be with you, Father in heaven, that they would understand their need, that the resurrection shows Jesus will one day judge the world because you've appointed him. And you gave all of us notice by raising him from the dead. Father, anyone here who's not yet made peace with you through Jesus, please let them do so today. We ask that you would encourage us who have trusted Christ to share the gospel and to witness to the world. We thank you that you are rich in mercy and love and grace. Thank you for the good attention of these people here. We pray that your word would be blessed to them. In Jesus' name, amen.